Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
ESPN 97.5, presented by Zadok Jewelers.
KFNC 97.9 HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let the lies be line with a death wish.
June 18th, 2024, or as I like to call it, Juneteenth Eve, is the day the Astros finally broke people. I'm going to say last night was the line of demarcation, that even the most positive Astros fans who had deluded themselves into thinking that, hey, we can get it going. We got the White Sox in. Take two out of three, possibly sweep. We're right back in it, at least in the wild card chase. Now we're just three games from getting to 500. I think last night broke them. From all the Twitter posts or tweets or posts, depending on what you like to call Twitter now, it changed people that last night. There was an assumption that this team would go into Chicago and win, not meekly get shut out and have a guy pick up his first win ever and get beat by two fielder's choice groundouts. That's part of it that makes it worse. Fromber's walking guys in the third and the fifth inning, and there are two fielder's choice groundouts that lead to runs by Andrew Vaughn, and that's the difference in the game. They lose 2-0, officially 10 games out of first, and now back to 7 games below 500. Look, the team stinks, and that's who they are until the foreseeable future. But it felt like that was the one. You see the White Sox, the worst team in baseball out there, and you think, you know what? We can at least beat this team. And on a Tuesday night in Chicago, anyone who believed that was wrong. They go down. It was a poor effort. Altuve, we've never seen him like that, I think. Very upset about a couple calls as far as pitches that went against them. Joe Espada gets thrown out of the game. You know, they put a little pressure on the White Sox in the ninth inning. Two runs on, you know, check swing single, I believe, by Singleton, and Dubon got on, and that was the end of the night for Jonathan Cannon. But their closer came in, got the final out. John Brebbia got the final out, and it's over, right, Sean? We can stop pretending, because even yesterday I heard you discussing it with Gallant and George about something we've talked about. Get to 500 before I start to take anything that's going on here seriously. Get to 500. And it's sad that that is now the benchmark. Get to 500, then we'll have a conversation. And starting off a series, dropping one to the White Sox in that fashion particularly.
Losing the first one is tough.
Yeah, because it's, you think they're awful. We can beat this team. And turns out, at least last night, you're just as bad as they are. Well, in fact, worse. It's not like the game ended in a tie. You lost. So you were worse last night than they are. And Fromber was fine. I mean, he walked, like I said, he gave up the walks. But you would think you'd find a way to scratch across three runs against that team last night. Because the White Sox, I believe, the Astros are up there as well. They have lost, this was maybe 2 weeks ago now, the stat came out that they had lost the most games after leading seventh inning on. They had lost the most games of any team in baseball, which speaks to why they are a bad baseball team. The Astros were disappointingly somewhat close on the list. That didn't play out yesterday. They take the White Sox took a lead in the fifth, and the Astros did not provide or did not introduce the White Sox to what they're used to, blowing a lead late. Although it got close, but not enough, and they go down. So, June 18th, line of demarcation. They broke us. They even broke John. John's sick, but I don't think the Astros game helped them. He came in all, and this is a guy who has the Astros leading the division by the end of July. I think they broke him last night too. We can blame it on the illness, but I think the Astros season has been joyless for the most part. It's been more talking about things that were, things that should still be. And then, of course, the injuries play a part, too. Justin Verlander now goes on the IL. It went from neck discomfort after the scratch start to he could be back. He could pitch Thursday. He could be back this week, to he will go on the IL. And that's kind of the trajectory for the Astros, particularly their pitchers. An unexplained missed start. Then we get an explanation about it. Then we hear that it's discomfort, and then it's an extended time missed. And then we've got season-ending surgery, and we won't see you for like 18 months. I don't know if that's the case with Verlander. They're still leaning into neck discomfort. I just know the path that these things have taken in the past.
Yeah.
It always winds up with some guy having surgery and being out for the rest of the year and longer.
Even Kyle Tucker, not a pitcher. Not going to need season-ending surgery, probably. But it went from, yeah, he'll need a day off or two, and then he'll come. It wasn't immediately put on the IL after fouling a ball off his foot. And then, maybe the weekend. By the end of the weekend, he'll play. And he's still, like, limping in the dugout.
Just like, so what? There's now really no timetable?
Yeah, what are we talking about? Like, why?
Look, the Astros can't be trusted. Forget about what's going on the field. We know we can't trust them game to game to give us performances. That's something separate. We know
last night proved that.
We've known that is the case. They can't be trusted. But they cannot be trusted with their injury reports. And, you know, threads start to get pulled when your team is bad that usually get ignored when you're good. Like something like this, if the Astros were playing well, another guy that we thought would come back in a reasonable amount of time is not coming back. You'd be like, you know what, who cares? The team keeps winning. We'll figure it out. But now you start to see little threads from this team, and you keep pulling. Okay, this is a problem. They can't be honest, or they can't be honest about what's going on, or they're misdiagnosing players. And generally, fans are like, who cares if they're injured or not, or the team's not telling you? That doesn't matter. When we win, when we lose, then we start to dig deep. I don't know what it is. I don't know why they just don't say, we don't know yet. Stop giving timetables for things that clearly have no basis in fact. You don't know. It's okay to say you don't know. I know it might sound bad, but say timetable undetermined. We're not giving you a date or a potential game because we don't want to look bad again when we're clearly wrong.
And it's never clearly wrong on the positive side.
No, it's never
like, man, we're really going to miss... We're really going to miss so-and-so. Actually, he's coming back next week. It's always,
never that. It's always
not that big of a deal.
It's always optimism.
Yeah.
And then it turns out they shouldn't have been optimistic at all.
It's always barely an injury, the way they explain
it. Well, discomfort just sounds like an owie.
Yeah, I'm uncomfortable several times a day.
Yeah.
Like, we're just, a part of my body's not comfortable.
Like, I might have accidentally stubbed my toe. That's discomfort.
Yeah, or you, like, put your elbow down on a chair, and now it hits your funny bone. And it's like, nope, this is all like horrible injuries that
potentially
these guys
career changing injuries are happening. Like, but they're labeling them initially as discomfort. They got to come up with a different word.
It would be one thing if they're just like, he's out of the lineup with discomfort. We'll come back with more. But it's always he's out with discomfort. Maybe
we expect
he pitches Thursday. maybe he pitches a couple days from now, and then it's a 2-week IL.
He might miss one start.
Yeah.
But we expect him back, And it rarely, if ever, turns out to be the case. The initial diagnosis is generally always wrong, always too optimistic, and Justin Verlander is just the latest case of a guy we thought, look, considering what had happened before all the other pitchers, there was no real belief in me that, even though I would say, hey, the Astros think he's going to come back, but in the back of your mind, it's like, I'll wait. I'll see if he comes back before I'm really believing what they're saying.
I'd never for a second thought that he was going to pitch on Thursday when they floated that out there. It's like, he's definitely not going to do that. Like, no. He's not going to get scratched from a start on Saturday or Sunday.
I think it was Saturday.
Yeah, and then play less than a week later. Like, that's not going
to
happen.
Yeah, they don't need my advice. But the one thing I would tell you to do is never give a definitive or slightly definitive time of return when it comes to your pitchers or anyone else on the roster.
Or anything. Never say if the GPS says that you'll be there in 10 minutes, say 10 or 15 minutes.
Just say he's under evaluation.
Yeah.
And when we have something more definite, we'll get back to you. That's all.
I feel like that's what they used to do. They never were super open about injuries, but they're just like, discomfort, we'll see, and then two-week IL. But it wasn't discomfort, we'll see.
There's a chance he might be back in a couple days.
Maybe right now. Maybe he actually, go look. He's pitching right now. And then he's in the IL. Like, it's I don't know. Is it a messaging? Do you think it's more of a messaging thing? I hope it's just a messaging thing. Or is it the doctors are, actually, we looked at the MRI upside down. Actually, it's terrible.
if they're hiring doctors.
They have Dr. Nick.
Who go, from The Simpsons. Yeah, if they're going from discomfort to UCL surgery or Tommy John surgery, I'm going to go with messaging.
Okay.
I think whoever has decided discomfort is the way they're going to describe things maybe doesn't inform the people who need to know, who have to speak to the media, that discomfort could mean any number of things. So you follow up discomfort with, yeah, I know it didn't sound that bad, so a couple of days, we'll talk, he'll be back. Just say, under evaluation, more will be determined after further evaluation, and we'll have an answer for you in maybe a week or so. Because that's generally how this goes. A week after the initial report, we're talking about a longer stint being absent. And Justin Verlander's just the latest guy.
Or they could just say, we'll provide an update. We'll provide an update in 3 days instead of he'll be pitching in 3 days. Like, what are we talking about?
It's right. You're right. It's very
simple.
These guys
get paid millions.
It's very simple not to tell people this guy won't be pitching for a while. Just say that. Just say we'll provide an update, and when we have further information, you'll know. But they don't do it. So I don't know if they're trying to sell hope in a hopeless season.
It's so short-sighted. So short-sighted. Like, 48 hours is all they're giving of hope.
Yeah.
It's not even hope, because now everyone who's been paying attention,
everyone who
knows whatever Joe Espada or Dana Brown gives an update on something, everyone's just like, all right, we'll see.
I know he did one of his weekly things on Friday. I'm not sure if that's an every week thing. It's Fridays when he does it with the rights holder.
Oh, it's on Wednesday.
It's Wednesday?
Yeah. Friday was just a special Jose Abreu just got released.
So we'll get the quotes today.
Yeah.
And we'll see what Dana Brown says about Justin Verlander going on the IL.
I bet he says it's no big deal.
And he'll tell us that, hey, he'll be back in a couple weeks, right?
Honestly, he could pitch tomorrow, but, you know.
We thought we'd be more than cautious and put him on that IL. So he's gone for a while. We know about the other guys who are gone for a long while, and the season feels like it's been done for probably for a month. But, you know, people still believe, although yesterday I think some of the belief is gone. So we'll continue to talk Astros throughout the show. We also have some NBA news, and it's really about the rule change that now players can and teams can now discuss deals. And we already have our first Woj bomb of the offseason. So we'll discuss that on today's show. We'll get into who may start with Verlander not being around. And that's still up in the air, but it's probably going to fall to Spencer Arrighetti. He is on full rest. He would be on full rest if he starts tomorrow, but they haven't been that hasn't been finalized yet. Texans are official with their camp date, so we'll discuss when they start and the days that are open and the expectations surrounding them, because there's some quotes in there from players, and Kyle McNair has spoke as well. CJ Stroud was at a camp. He talks about the popularity of the team and himself. So there's plenty of get to on the show. We're just getting started here. We are going to try to be more forthright than the Astros. That's why I gave y'all the things we hope to get to. And if I don't get to them, then maybe I'm just like the Astros too. We got stuff to get to. We'll be back.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So Yordan didn't play yesterday. Family matter. He could be back today. We'll see. It is not an injury concern. Till it is. I mean, I'm not saying he is injured, but why would he be immune to what's going on? Thankfully, he's not right now, but it could happen. They've actually had pretty good luck outside of Kyle Tucker with everyday guys as far as injuries. Nothing long term that kept guys out for a good amount of time. That's been really the pitcher's bag. Let's hope it stays the same. Let's hope that remains the case, because you saw that lineup yesterday without Yordan. Meek the entire way through. As far as I mentioned, Spencer Arrighetti may be pitching on Thursday. He would be, as I said, on full rest. And then they could go with Blanco on Friday and Fromber on Sunday. They would need someone for Saturday, though. So maybe that could be a bullpen game. Who knows? But they do have options and pretty good ones. As long as Arrighetti knows he's going to pitch and not surprised by Verlander going, or at least missing that start, having it scratched. He's been pretty good over the last 2 to 3 weeks or so. So That's where the Astros stand right now. If any more news comes out, we'll certainly update you on that. And Dana Brown's doing his weekly thing. At least some of the quotes are coming out. No mention of Verlander as of yet, as far as the tweets about his time on the rights holder. So if he does have an update on Verlander and what the extent of the neck discomfort is, I'll talk about that and get you that information. So CJ Stroud was at a camp yesterday and entertaining the kids, you know, just throwing the ball around with everyone, having a good time. And it's a good time for CJ. Very popular, right? Unless you are a national media member who's calling him out for his comments on a podcast or otherwise. But for the most part, really well-liked. Certainly in this city, people are flocking to the Texans because of him and the surprising season they had last year. So CJ at the camp, he you know, he's talked about a lot of things, but there was a focus on the Texans being popular. Sean, do you remember, we've talked about this, I think, before, but there's never been I can't even say that, because when Deshaun got drafted, people were excited. But we all like to forget about that time period for obvious reasons.
There's never been a cool Houston Texans team.
That's the case. I was going to say cool quarterback, but Deshaun was a cool quarterback. He was coming off a national title. We know. He was very cool until he wasn't.
From 2017 to about 2021.
About 2017 to about the second half of the Texans Chiefs game. Everything was cool with Deshaun.
Even the 2020 season, J.J. Watt apologized to him for wasting one of his seasons.
It's true.
Even though, I mean, J.J. Watt, also sorry to you for wasting one of your seasons.
But, or your career, for the most part.
Oh,
what?
That.
A couple division division titles?
Back-to-back AFC South champs, Del.
Never made it past the divisional round. You kind of wasted a Hall of Famer's career. You kind of did. Then that man spent time in that ugly Arizona Red.
Ring chasing.
With the Cardinals of all teams. That was a poor choice. I saw how that played out. So, we've had cool quarterbacks, but the team itself wasn't cool. Bill O'Brien, among other reasons. The Texans were never cool. Now you're going to have modern uniforms that people seem to like, multiple helmets to wear, and you've got a cool quarterback who loves to talk. In fact, we'll get into where he's ranked on one publication's top 100 list of NFL players. But here's CJ yesterday talking about Texans' popularity.
Man, it's been crazy. You know, I've been everywhere I go, if it's out the country, in the country. I mean, I see Texan gear everywhere. I see seven jerseys, I see style jerseys, you know. So, I mean, just to have that, you know, that I think what it is, inspiration, you know. I think just to inspire people like that is just a blessing, and it's all right. You know, I can do nothing but just thank God and, you know, my family and just everybody who's spilled, you know, something into me as a kid.
I'm sure he does inspire people, but I'm not sure someone – wearing a Stroud jersey is inspired by anything other than you play for my favorite team. That might be where the inspiration begins and ends. I'm sure CJ is likely an inspiration for younger people, but you know, the 35-year-old at the team store, I don't know how inspired he is. Hey, hey, you're wearing the colors of my favorite team. Let me put a jersey on. You're the quarterback. I think that's where it begins and ends. I could be wrong. I've never been inspired when I was a kid. When I actually wore jerseys, I wasn't inspired by anything other than you're a good player on my favorite team.
Yeah, I would not say that I was inspired when my parents bought me a David Carr jersey in 2002. Wouldn't say I was like, every time I put it on, I thought, you know what? I need to represent myself the way David Carr represents the city of Houston.
By running out of bounds and taking sacks? Mm-hmm. It wasn't all his fault, certainly, yeah. But is that how you were inspired?
Yeah. I wanted to limit physical harm at all costs because I knew it was coming at some point.
I knew I was gonna some. There are gonna be times where I couldn't avoid it, so let me avoid it when I could.
It was the, yeah, like third grade was the equivalent of getting sacked 70 times in a season.
third grades can be tough.
They can be.
They can be tough. Elementary school can be tough. So. I certainly think he's inspired a lot of talk, a lot of belief. So maybe that's what he's talking about. There's a level of belief in the Texans that hasn't existed for a while, and belief in this is a real title contender. That can vary depending on the person, but I think the level of talent will lead you to believe that at least they're not deficient. They're a team you can go up and down the roster and go. You got a lot of guys in spots who could play and start and be stars on different teams around the league. That's not something we're used to saying from the quarterback and particularly the offense itself, from the skill position, and then your pass rushers as well. So in those premier spots, in those spots that get paid a lot of money, the Texans thankfully have cheap labor there, but also have some exciting players to discuss. So as I mentioned, this is just a preview of camp. Camp begins in July for the Texans. And the first date for that camp is July 18th. They open practices on July 18th. And our fearless leader, Cal McNair, who I'm certainly inspires people as well, throw up the H.
Every time he throws up the H, I'm like.
You feel inspired?
Yeah. Nice to know we have an owner who, in his 50s, has decided to embrace Houston culture.
There's a level to this where I'm like, can't you just put on a suit and not do that? But
I understand
the promo. I understand the marketing.
But it's also, don't market to us that much.
Hey, you don't have to play to me that much. I don't really expect that of you. I'm not looking for that from you. It's cool.
And I feel like he's marketing specifically more to you than he is to me.
If I grew up here and I lived to throw up the H, you think there's a certain segment of the population he's marketing to throwing up the H?
I think
putting
so.
On a chain.
Yeah. And you know what? I forgot about the chain too.
Yeah, let's
and the,
not.
And the album cover looking picture with him and the giant dog and yeah. Sending a nice car in his mansion. Yeah.
There's messaging there, certainly. Hey,
I've noticed some things. Hanging out with Bun B.
What would you like Cal? How would you like Cal to market to you? What do you think would be the perfect marketing ploy for you?
Handing me a copy of EA Sports College Football 25.
I mean, now you're just looking for free stuff.
Yeah.
That's a little different.
I'd be a lot nicer to him if he did that.
Sure. People give me free stuff, I'm nicer to them.
I don't know how he's supposed to market to me.
Yeah,
I don't know. Have the cast of Furious 7
That specific cast, not eight or nine. Furious 7.
It's because it's on Max.
Right now?
Yeah, and I saw it last night. I was like, oh, add to list.
I love doing that. I don't know.
I'll never go through my list.
I have like everyone, I have multiple apps. I have so many things on all those lists that I'm probably never going to get to.
They all leave before I can watch
And the other
them.
Thing is, I don't want to search for this again, so I'm just going to put it there just in case.
Exactly. It's for safekeeping.
Yeah, just in case I got plenty of time on a Thursday afternoon. I just picked a random day. It could be tonight. A Wednesday afternoon. And I want to watch, you know what I want to watch? I want to watch Hellboy 2. I'm going to put it in my list, just the Golden Army. And that's not just a random reference. I am in the middle of watching Hellboy 2, Golden Army. So nice. I'm going to watch that. I'm going to put it on my list just for safekeeping. I can get back to it at any time. And so maybe Cal can find something that you can put on your list. And what is currently on the list is, hey, you want to give me a free copy of a video game that you have nothing to do with?
But he probably can pull some strings.
He would probably think you would want Madden. Since he's an NFL guy.
Keep it.
I'm right there with you. You keep that. 2K, keep that too. I'm focused on one thing and one thing only. So here's Cal as he is marketing to certain people in the city, maybe more strongly than others. This is about the entire city. These are his quotes. It's been an extremely exciting offseason for us, and we're looking forward to building on that heading into training camp. We can't wait to celebrate and connect with our fans while debuting the organization's new look. He also goes on to say, we are also looking forward to honoring and celebrating Texans legend Andre Johnson through the franchise's first Hall of Fame enshrinement this August. Our ultimate goal is to win. So, yeah, that's some news. The Texans will have their first Hall of Famer. It'll be Andre Johnson. The Texans are going to be in the Hall of Fame game against the Bears. Of course, they play the Bears early in the season. You will not see anyone you really care about except for the rookies. That's how it's going to go. The Texans, because of their success, have enough established young players. They're just going to be sitting there in the uniforms, not even with pads. CJ's going to have the headset on, listen to the plays that Davis Mills and Case Keenum get. Just hanging out. It's going to be a lot of that from the Texans this offseason because of how well they played last year.
Yes. Get ready for a lot of in-game interviews with Andre Johnson talking about how much he loves this new, you know, Nico Collins and how much he loves this new era of Texans football. I don't know if they'll do a lot of, hey, remember the time you beat up Courtland Finnegan? I don't know if they'll do that.
That's unlikely.
Tough. That is tough with Andre Johnson because there's not a lot of hey, remember the time?
Yeah, he caught that touchdown against the Washington team that was named a name we don't say anymore.
Jacksonville walk-off one. But all these are walk-off touchdowns or game-winning touchdowns on noon slate games.
Yeah, that who else saw them?
For a team that ended up maybe going 9-7.
I think the Washington game, because it was on the road, it might have been a later game. But yeah, there's not a lot of big moments in big games that we're going to point to. We're just going to know that his career was another one, much like maybe you don't think J.J. Watt's was, but his career was kind of It didn't fulfill his potential mostly because of lack of team success. He was a player that should have been on teams that had chances to play in big games because he was a big game type of player. Just didn't play in a lot of them because of issues that had nothing to do with him.
There's going
to
be a lot of I actually now that I think there's going to be a double interview with him and Devin Hester, and it's basically just going to be University of Miami recruiting. All for 5 minutes in the third quarter of this game. Well,
they're going to be wearing the jackets. You think they're going to be Miami references to the guys who they would be recruiting weren't even alive when they were at Miami.
Always be recruiting. There's going to be a, you know, no better year than going with my fellow Miami Hurricane, you know, and then they'll do the U. And yeah,
the problem for that is
Michael Irvin might be there,
probably, and other Miami players celebrating those guys. Maybe Santana Moss and Reggie Wayne; those guys.
Ed Reed will be there.
We're teammates of those guys. But the problem is
Mario
just,
Cristobal will be there.
Stay away. run a practice. Don't go to that enshrinement
Get
ceremony.
Get ready for the Florida game. All right, buddy.
Yeah, you got work to do. The problem is it's just a sad reminder of how bad the team is now. Like, remember when we were really good before you guys were even alive?
All these guys are done with their NFL career and waited 5 years and are now in the NFL.
And you guys,
the Hall of Fame.
And you guys haven't reached a modicum of the success they had since they departed the school.
Yeah. Cam Ward, you're up next. Restrepo, you're up next.
Why do you know so many Miami players?
I don't know. I know those two. And one of them transferred.
From Washington. He wasn't even a Miami player. Transferred from Washington State.
I just know
State.
Restrepo because he made a lot of big plays.
Because
he was the only guy that Tyler Van Dyke would throw to.
Oh, you must be typing on the Miami measures boards because that's been a level of conversation. I'm glad it's over now. We are way late, and don't blame me for the Miami stuff. Blame Sean. I know. I catch flack for that, but that's a Sean joint this time.
That's all they're going to talk about. Andre Johnson. There's no Texan stuff they're going
to
talk about.
They're going to talk about his time there, right? There's got to be stuff to get to.
Well, the thing is, he can't dump on. Yeah, the best quarterback I had by far was Matt Schaub. He can't, like, you can't be like, it's even crazier you made the Hall of Fame because look at the trash that I was throwing to you.
Yeah, it would be an
interesting. That's what we would say.
They can't say that. It would be an interesting conversation to have about a guy who his talents far exceeded anyone surrounding him. And how are they going to discuss the lack of on-field success? Because even the touchdowns you look at, he just had this many touchdowns?
Yeah. I think, he might have had 10 in the season like once.
I think they'll find things to talk about, but you're right. Because Devin Hester is there, it'll be a lot of dual conversations, reliving the good old days when they played on good teams.
One last question. Was it pass interference?
Andre would say, no, it wasn't. He had a great day that day. Didn't matter, though. We are, once again, I said it already, but we're way late because of Sean. He loves reliving Miami history as a Texas Longhorn for whatever reason. I will try to get back on time. If you want to call in, 713-780-3776. There's more Texan stuff to get to because Pete Prisco, of all people, works for CBS Sports, and he's ranked the top 100 NFL players. The Texans make the list with like 5 or 6. And he ranks a surprising quarterback on the list that we're going to slander him for because it's nuts where he has this guy. And not just where he has him, the blurb about what this guy can be in the 2024 year. We'll talk about that when we come back.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
The rule is, if you call in with your real name, we get to you as quickly as possible. Now, Lazy J isn't a real name, but I know it's the real Lazy J. So we will get to the Pete Prisco thing here shortly. But first, let's talk to Lazy J. What's up?
Hey, Dale. What's going on, brother? Good morning, man.
Good morning.
Yeah, I want to get in and talk a little basketball. I guess it's what are the odds Wednesday? What are the odds that LeBron opts out, becomes a free agent, and either goes to Dallas and reunites with Kyrie? Or go to Phoenix. I know Phoenix, he would have to play for like a bare minimum. But maybe they could trade, maybe Bradley Beal and maybe some other players. Maybe he can go to Phoenix. I just want to get your thoughts on that. Love the show.
Appreciate it. The odds are diminished because Bronny won't work out for anyone. And we feel like that's where this is headed in the most predictable thing that could ever be predicted. LeBron will likely play wherever his son lines up, and certainly Clutch and the James family seems to be setting it up where Bronny is isolating himself from most all the teams in the NBA so he can have a couple spots that he can choose from. As far as Dallas, does Dallas want to draft LeBron James Jr.? If they do, then they've got a shot. The other thing is, I know what you said about playing for the minimum. I don't think that's what guys do. I understand that's always the dream, and if he wants to play a certain spot, he gets the mid-level and be the minimum, probably would be the mid-level. But guys like LeBron don't do it because partly the NBA PAs would say, that is not what we want from our players. You are far more valuable than that. It sets a bad precedent. Go get your money. There are some guys who have to sign the minimum as prove-it deals. Like Kelly Oubre signed a minimum deal with the Sixers. He was one of those guys like an auxiliary piece waiting on the Dame trade. He was thought to maybe be heading to Miami on a deal, maybe like the minimum. Then they would sign him after this season to a bigger deal. But guys of that level can go sign for the minimum, even though they're worth more than that. LeBron won't do that. There's going to be a certain expectation about what he's going to sign for, and taking less money seems not logical. As far as Phoenix is concerned, they'd have to get Bradley Beal to agree to a trade. Now, it's L.A. He probably wouldn't turn down a trade to L.A. I just don't see the Lakers doing that in a trade scenario. Trading LeBron for Bradley Beal plus whatever. And Phoenix doesn't even have picks, so how do you get the correct value for LeBron James when you don't have to trade him?
Bradley Beal?
That's not the correct value.
Yusuf Nurkic?
Yeah, how much? What would it take for the Lakers fans?
Oh, Bol Bol.
Okay, keep naming names.
No, I mean, that's how people on like TikTok would be like, oh, Bol Bol's nasty.
Yeah, I've heard. Yeah, I know. They would put together a minute 15 of him with music that would make it seem like Bol Bol is him. I get it. I've seen him. Everyone has a compilation. I saw one of a four-year-old kid coaching comp today. I mean, a compilation today of the kid moments at some rec league game.
Yeah, insert your least favorite coach here jokes.
Yeah, that's all it was. So I know Lazy J is a big LeBron fan, and he will root for him no matter where he is, and that's his prerogative. Those two options, it's gonna take a lot to make it happen. It feels like more dreaming and off-season jersey edits than anything else. How could the Lakers, unless he, and LeBron won't do this because he doesn't want his reputation ruined, he wouldn't outwardly go, trade me to Phoenix. He's not going to make that public. So unless he does that, unless he does what other stars have done, I'm not playing here, trade me to Phoenix, I don't see how it happens.
Yeah, because the only other way is he opts out, becomes a free agent.
Mid-level. If he takes a mid-level from them, is LeBron James taking the mid-level?
I don't know.
Can you see that happening?
I don't think the Suns are way into the tax. So
and would they even be capable of giving him
they
that?
They have a lower, it's called the taxpayer mid-level.
Yeah, taxpayer mid-level.
So it's even less than the, like, $16 million or whatever the mid-level is. So no matter what it is, he's going to be playing for, you're asking him to play for at least over a, like, two-thirds less than what he could possibly make, like his max, which you should just sign him to the max if you have the ability.
Sure. It would take a trade.
Hey, Lakers, just sign him to the max. Do whatever he wants. You're not going to do anything anyway.
Yeah, unless he doesn't want to be there anymore. But, I don't know, staying in L.A.? I mean, Bronny went to USC, so he didn't have to leave the city.
Maybe that's the other thing.
Maybe we're just twisting ourselves into the knots, and he's just going to be a Laker. They'll both be Lakers.
There's no evidence that anyone in the James family wants to leave Los Angeles.
Yes.
There's just no evidence of that. So I don't know if he'll take a super pay cut to play in Dallas.
Now, Phoenix is a short trip. Hey. The PJ is right there waiting. Yeah. It's not a long trip to get to Phoenix and back to LA. It just seems like a lot of maneuvers have to be made for that to happen, all to go play with. I know Booker and Durant
and Bradley
are great players. Well, someone's got to go.
No, because he's signing signing the minimum.
The taxpayer mid-level, whatever the hell they'll have to offer
him. He'll be making like 10% of what Bradley Beal is making. I'm sure he'll be fine with that.
I can't foresee it, man. It's all dream world stuff for that to happen. And Bradley Beal can be dropped. They can be paying a guy $50+ million to be the fourth option.
With the no trade clause. So they can't like get rid of him without his consent.
Anytime they come up to him and go, hey, Bradley, we're thinking about F off. I'm not going anywhere. Although, I don't know why he'd be so attached to Phoenix if they did want to get rid of him, particularly if he could choose the city and other teams wanted to take him on. I could see Bradley Beal relenting. I just don't know who's willing to give the Suns whatever they might ask.
Yeah.
And want Bradley Beal at that salary.
The team receiving him would be like, oh, so this guy doesn't play and he's best as like a third option.
And when he does play, he was awful in an elimination game and the series overall. Great.
And now he's told you that he'll only play for us, so we have no incentive to cobble together a good trade for you. To bail you out.
Why would I bail you out? because of your dumb decision.
Also, if I was Bradley Beal, the last thing I'd want to do is play for the Lakers, the Knicks.
You can kind of hide in Phoenix. You'll catch it when you're bad.
Exactly
but
why. I don't want to be traded for LeBron and play for the Lakers. That is something I do not want to do. I do not want the
because
spotlight
Laker
on
fans
me.
Didn't even really fully accept LeBron. You think they're going to have time for you? No, Bradley Beal should be welcoming the stay in Phoenix. Hide behind Kevin Durant and Devin Booker, and go put up your 17 points per game because you're the third option. Then disappear in the playoffs. But still cash those checks. We were going to talk about...
Do you think he calls Tobias Harris and he's like, I just need some guidance on this. How do I...
Who calls who in that scenario?
How do I effectively disappear in... what?
Who calls who? Because they both are great at it. So who's calling who
for
advice?
I think Beal calls Tobias Harris.
Well, Tobias Harris...
Tobias Harris years in the game.
He did it in a contract year. At least Beal had all his money and did it. Who cares? Beal doesn't care. You still got to pay me. Tobias Harris was looking for a giant deal. And did it. And now he's going to win.
The entire playoff run for the Sixers.
All of what? Six games, was it?
Yeah. The entire time, it was all they have are Maxey and Embiid. It's like, well, they do have someone who's making $40 million. But he has effectively driven down our expectations of him so low that he is now just a role player.
Yeah, we forgot he's being paid like a max player.
They chose him over Jimmy Butler.
Jimmy let us
on
know.
On the contract he's still on.
Jimmy reminded us after the 2022 series. And now, speaking of that, Jimmy is a guy who is looking for an extension. And I bring it up because Pascal Siakam got his from the Pacers. So those deals can be discussed. They can't be finalized until the new league year. But if you are a player on a team that is looking for an extension or just looking to sign a contract, those can start to happen, at least as far as the formalizing of the particulars, and then you sign the deal once July something, whatever, hits. So Pascal Siakam's the first. Who's next? We know the Rockets are having discussions about Şengün and Green, so that news can come at any moment, considering the new rule. So once again, if we hear anything about anyone, we'll let you know. We will get to that Prisco ranking of top 100 players, because there are a lot of Texans on the list. And once again, there's one quarterback on the list who should not be and certainly shouldn't have this particular blurb written about him. So we'll talk about that when we come back.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
So, the Texans are on a list of the top 100 players. The list is full of your Houston Texans. Sean, have you seen the list?
No, I have not.
Okay, who do you think is the top-ranked Texan?
The top-ranked Texan, probably C.J. Stroud.
Incorrect. It's a new Texan, Danielle Hunter, at 35.
Huh. So. I was thinking Stroud or Tunsil, really, because Tunsil was always the answer for a while.
But he was the only answer for a while. C.J. is Rex 38. Burkhead. Yeah, we all want to forget the dark days. C.J. Stroud, number 38 on the list. Tunsil, 57. Nico at 77.
Wow.
Derek Stingley at 80.
Wow.
And Will Anderson at 99. Wow. So the Texans, and all the names you might expect.
I'm surprised that they're all on the list. Like, once you got to Derek Stingley, I thought that's one where I thought the national perception would be like, this guy doesn't play.
But when he did,
he was awesome.
He was very impactful.
I'm surprised he cracked the top 100 for
Pete Prisco. This is Pete Prisco's list. We'll see, I guess, later in the offseason. Maybe
the players
top 100. That hasn't come out yet, so we'll see where the Texans rank on that one.
I think I value Pete Prisco's more.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, let's see.
The players one is always insane.
You say you value Pete Prisco's more. Wait till you find out where one guy ranks and what he said about him in the blurb. And we'll see how much you value Pete Prisco.
Is it a Texan?
No, it is not a Texan. Oh, okay. We have all the Texans mentioned. He ranks a quarterback in the AFC South at 63. No, I'm wrong again. I keep downgrading him because I think he shouldn't be on the list. He ranks him at 62. Who do you think this quarterback is?
So my options are
Levis, Richardson,
Lawrence.
Malik Willis, maybe.
That's a head fake. A bad one. Or I guess Mac Jones, if we're throwing
Mac Jones, maybe he really loves his time in his rookie year and still thinks back to that fondly.
I have to think, because Richardson and Levis did not play the entire season. I don't even know. I mean, Richardson didn't come close. I forgot if Levis even came close to the whole season. So I have to go somehow with the man who just got paid, $200-something million. So give me Trevor Lawrence.
You are correct. Yes, Trevor Lawrence ranked 62nd on the list of best players in the league. He had him ranked. Can you guess where he had him ranked last year?
42nd?
23rd.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, Trevor Lawrence is the 23rd best player in the league last year. His 2023 season was a disappointment for a lot of reasons, including injury.
This is obviously, excuse train, right there.
We're already starting. But that isn't the most egregious thing. We'll get there. He threw 21 touchdown passes and 14 picks as he pressed at times. Another excuse. I think he bounces back with a hefty new contract and has an MVP-type season that will vault him up the list. That's what he wrote about Trevor Lawrence. An MVP-type season. Based on nothing, but he was the first overall pick and he was great at Clemson. That's all this is about.
There's something about the MVP season.
You are going a little far.
That actually bothers me less than the rewriting of the past.
Okay.
Because at least you can go like, that is projection, that is just a guess, whatever. The past is the past, dude. Like, we cannot, like, I'm still reeling from he was 23rd last year. I'm still.
What could he have possibly seen? Trevor Lawrence was a better player in 2022 than he was in 2023, but not the 23rd best player in all of football, good or better. What could you have seen?
He won a playoff game.
Yeah, because the other overhyped guy was on the other side, Justin Herbert.
Where does he have Herbert
on? I'll find that here.
Okay.
I didn't want to. Those are my two bell cows of what do we talk about? Why are people saying things I don't see when it comes to quarterbacks? Those are the two at the top of my list. You know, Herbert's on the list, big arm guy. People love him. I'm sure excuses will be made. He's 41. He was ranked one spot ahead of Lawrence last year at 22. He's 41 this year.
Wow, a couple big tumbles for Prisco's guys.
Yeah, and I think Herbert was one of his guys coming from the draft, so there is some bias here as well. He remembers where he had him ranked coming out of the draft, and really, Herbert had two really good years. The last two haven't been great, so he shouldn't have been 22 last year based off of 2022, but bias is playing a part.
Yeah, there is a little bit of if you have two awesome seasons.
You don't need to drop all the way into the 50s or so. But
also, no Diggs on this list. That's a little surprising.
Yeah. Diggs certainly the back half of the year fell off because the way the Buffalo Bills were ran was different. They had a new play caller. So some of that plays a part. But yeah, no Diggs on the list.
Just speaking of guys who have had a lot of good years and are just not – he was not a focal point of their offense for – what, the last
like nine
games of the season,
like that,
and he's off the list.
Gotta go.
The first 10 games of the season was awesome.
Yeah, but I'll keep Trevor Lawrence at 62 when he was bad. That's all. Just makes you think, right?
Yeah, makes you
What's
makes
Pete
you
Prisco
think.
On? What's he talking about?
What time is he on? Is Pete Prisco the first ever example of ACC, or ACC, AFC South bias?
I can't think of Paul Kuharsky's probably the first, the Tennessee guy.
Okay. Because this list seems very, I watch a lot of AFC South football.
Well,
but actually not that much because I think Trevor Lawrence is awesome.
He's not watching it closely.
But it's like, we're talking about, I guess it was before the show, with the different conference mouthpieces in the media, whether they work for rights holders that have exclusively Big 12 or Big 10 or SEC games.
Sure.
There's always a guy who on Twitter is always going to pick up the flag for whatever conference his company owns. He will defend them. And I think that pre-Pritzko is that for the AFC South. But he's doing it for free. The love of the game.
You think it's that, or he's got a preference for big, tall, underwhelming quarterbacks when it comes to
loves a big
Herbert
white,
and Lawrence.
Big white quarterback.
Big white strong arm quarterback he loves. Underwhelming strong arm quarterback.
Can't blame him, but
I could find a way to blame him. In fact, I am right now.
That's also my type, you know.
Well,
I'd love a good, big, strong. Look at him.
Look at him when he gets off the bus. You're one of those guys?
Yeah. Yeah. I am. No.
You would go to one of their pre-draft workouts and watch them throw the ball and go, or the pro day and go, the sound that the ball.
Yeah.
What it sounds just, like coming off his hand is different than anything I've ever seen. Yeah. It's just different. Anything I've ever heard.
It's
yeah.
just different guy.
Yeah. You know? The ball just comes off his hand different. You're one of those guys.
Yeah, all these tiny quarterbacks.
Six, 1 and under. Yeah. Get out of here.
I have very, like, 2000s, like, the 2000s prototype quarterback still in my brain. Like, Kyler Murray. No. Ugh. So tiny. Well,
you wouldn't have been wrong about that one, at least the last couple years.
That's the thing. I'm not Bryce Young. Not wrong.
Okay.
Drew Brees. More right, just being like, yeah the 6'4 guy.
Incomplete on Bryce Young.
Give me the 6'4 guy. I don't know.
Yeah, you would take 6'4 over 5'10 or whatever Bryce Young is.
Anthony Richardson over Bryce Young. I would take that. Anthony Richardson barely plays. I'd still take it.
Yeah, Bryce Young is not only small of stature, he's also tiny.
Wee. Yeah, he's a wee man.
Yes, as far as even just size-wise, horizontally, he's tiny. Not a lot of weight on there. We'll see what Bryce Young does in the second year. Not on the list, Bryce Young.
Others receiving votes?
Not a chance. No votes.
Even though it's a one man's vote?
Yeah. He uses honorable mention to avoid that particular others receiving votes category.
But is there anything grotesque in the honorable mentions? Because I feel like that's where you can really slide in some personal agendas.
I don't know. I mean, these are all players. These are all fine players.
It's hard to get worked up over the 105th best player.
No, he ranked the guy 125. Okay. I'm upset about that. But the Trevor Lawrence one got me.
60, stopped you in your tracks.
Mostly because of the previous ranking. And then the blurb. Rating him 62, I think that's nonsense, but whatever.
The blurb being excuse, I think he's going to be an MVP is crazy.
Nuts. How about he be the best player in the AFC South? Before we start talking about MVP, how about he be the best quarterback in the AFC South?
I was going to say.
Yeah. I might question whether he's a top two quarterback in the AFC South. Let's see him play.
Well, his ranking last year was 23rd. 23?
Yeah.
He's probably closer to 23, the number 23 quarterback than he is.
Last year's performance, definitely.
He's higher. He's definitely higher than 23rd. Not that much higher.
Yeah, if we're going off 2023.
I'll slap a big old 16th on him. Congratulations.
You are the definition of mid, Trevor Lawrence. Right in the middle of all the starting quarterbacks in the league.
I'm using my hand to actually stamp him.
For people who can't see it on YouTube.
Yes. Boom.
Sean is
right
miming
across his face.
Oh, on his forehead even.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I'm picturing of like it's a picture and it's just boom.
Stamp. Number 16. With room for improvement.
M-I-D. Boom.
Trevor Lawrence has got some. I think there's plenty of potential there, but I think people are using
MVP maybe
not MID, not MVP. People are using potential way back in his college years to still prop him up for no reason at all, just to be right on what they thought he was going to be. We are through hour one and into hour two a little bit as well. We'll get to some other things beyond our undying. I wouldn't call it hate. But proper evaluation of Trevor Lawrence. We'll get to some stuff beyond that. We'll talk more about the Astros because Dana Brown spoke today, so we'll get you some quotes from that and what he said. Maybe some stuff about Verlander, maybe it was completely avoided. So we'll bring you some news on that. And we mentioned the NBA. There is a list about some guys who could get traded. Some Rockets make the list, so we'll talk about that as well. Hour two when we come back.
ESPN 97.5. Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.